You're listening to Radio Golf Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a good old-fashioned RotoFest, Golf Show RotoFest, Golf Show RotoFest number 9. We're talking about the 2023 Masters, which start this week. We have a unique lineup. We have Michael Timpus. We have Craig Miller. We have Stefan Maywald. We have Albert Hansen. We have Ted Long. And we have Brother Burley. On the way, presumably, is Mr. Drew Hinesley, and we'll be featuring the Double Dome, which should be a lot of fun. And Mr. Casey Shea is on his way as well. We will start right away. The picking order is just the way I just mentioned it, and I will mark the picks of our Golf Show All-Stars as they go along. We have a list of the players with their odds in front of us, and it is Mr. Timpus first. Welcome, Mr. Timpus.
Morning.
Morning.
Hi, I pick Rory.
He picks Rory right off the board.
What a surprise. Nice.
How you doing, Doc? Everything good with you?
Yes, fine.
Super. You look fantastic, especially I love the deep purple shirt.
How cool is that? I had holiday, 7 days of golfing in Turkey.
Ah.
Nice. Where'd you go?
I'm quite Bilek.
Yeah, well, we know that. What courses did you play?
In the springtime, we are seven guys. We always play seven times Nobilis and have an 108-hole trophy to defend. The first round is for testing, and then it's quite nice. We don't have to move, and so we
you stay in Robinson Club.
Yes.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I was there also with 20 guys. It's great. Course was good this year.
Yes, very good.
Good condition. Very good.
A lot
condition,
of rain the week before, and so it was okay. Everything was green and perfect.
Yeah, I was in first week in March. It was great, man.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, Frank, who's next?
Okay, well, so Michael believes that Rory will go for the career Grand Slam. And then the next pick goes to Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller, welcome. Good to see you.
Well, nice to see you guys. My pick is going to be Jason Day.
Oh,
ooh.
No.
Fucking hell.
This is his last trip, isn't it?
This guy is coming in, man. I'm telling you, boys, he's playing well. He's been getting closer week to week to week.
You just jinxed him. He'll miss the cut.
Here we go. He is playing well. I mean, he's definitely and he has a good record there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Very good. Very cool. He's off the board. Next we have dialing in from somewhere in Bella Italia, Stefan Maywald. Stefan, welcome, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I love to hear Ted Long's stories. But let's go on with the game. I would never bet on him, but if I understand this game correctly, we should start with the persons high up on the list. So give me Scottie Scheffler, please.
There you go. I don't think you can go wrong with him. I don't think you can.
By the way, I think Jason Day is really high up the list, actually.
I think so, too.
Yeah, man. I like it.
Right up there. I was hoping to get him. That's what I put myself.
I tell you what, I bet him. I bet him 2 months ago. I just kind of had a vibe. He was coming back. He's working good. He's developed his swing nicely, I tell you. And I put him on 2 months ago. And I don't think he had qualified back then, but he's on form. He's a good tip.
Yeah.
Also, you got a bet on him now at the Masters?
I bet him, yeah. A long time ago. I got 85 to 1.
Jesus. Hello.
Yeah.
That might be a trip to Nobilis.
Yeah, it could be. I've got a little $100 on him. Let's see what happens. Oh.
Very nice. Well played. Next up in the cleanup spot, in the fourth picking spot, is from Sweden, the reigning British amateur champion from Sweden, Albert Hansen. Albert, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
All right. We always need...
I think I'll go for... What was that?
Yeah, we always need a Swedish guy here in this thing. That's we very important.
We went for Lazarball.
Is the audio still... Is it okay?
Yeah. Who are you going for?
I'll go for Rahm, since nobody picked him.
John Rahm. Yeah, I mean, I think he needs to be off the boards. But two S, your name? Yes, I think so. And then, of course, no RotoFest would be a RotoFest without Mr. Ted Long. How are you, Ted?
Better than I look. Now, listen.
You, yes.
What did I pick? Albert, he left at the toilet again. He's never there. Can you slide up the list? I got a couple guys in my head.
And you're already sliding?
I just want to look. Keep going. All right. Keep going a little farther. Okay, that's enough. Go back up. At the time, when you get to Keegan Bradley, the favorites are gone. Okay. Like a fact, isn't it? I'm going to pick. Go up one. Oh, that guy's already taken it. I'm going to take some right now. And I hate doing this because I don't like all that goofy stuff he does with his swing. But the guy is coming around nicely, and he's definitely going to make the cut, okay? So I'm going to take Jordan Spieth.
Oh, fuck off.
Hold on. I'm still on pick. I'm still on point. Albert, do you know who I am? Albert. Is this guy listening? Albert, hello. Milena Vin.
I'm having big problems with my audio, so I can hear basically every other word you say. But.
Okay, do you know who I am?
Try again.
This guy here.
Jesus. Do you know who Ted is?
I'm going to get some cue cards. I wrote with you. I run European Golf Rankings.
Okay.
You run?
European Golf Association.
No, God damn it. Hang on.
Oh, okay, I can't. I can do my picks, but not much more ranking. Than that.
Well, since Ted picked Jordan Spieth, and now who knows where he went, we have up next Brother Burley, and it's always a pleasure to see you on Radio Golf Show, sir.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Frank. Before this turns into a three-hour-long, ten-long special, I'm sorry about my offensive language just then. All the good picks have been taken that I wanted. It says something, Rory McIlroy, first off the bat. I think Jason Day will be in there at the end. Jordan Spieth was my first pick. But I'm going to go with Cameron Young. He's in form. Course suits him. Long hitter.
Cameron Young. Okay. Very good. That leaves me. I will go for... Homa. And then Mr. Shea gave me his picks. He will go for Justin Thomas with the first pick and Cantley with the second. I will go Xander. And it is now Brother Burley again.
Yeah, Tony Finau, please.
Very good pick. Tony Finau. European golf, it's the wrong way around, Ted. European golf
rankings.
Rankings. Ah, European golf rankings. That's what it is, Albert. The European golf rankings. What spot is Albert in there?
Albert's like top five. I just wrote with him the other day to get a picture of him.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to tell him. I've been writing with him on Instagram.
No, you're on Instagram? That I got to check out that page. What do we make? What do we make of the new tee on 13? Any comments from you guys?
Haven't seen it.
Making it longer. I mean, it's just the principle of it.
I was watching in the golf school today. I think it was the year Nick Faldo won.
Uh-huh.
And they were hitting like wooden drivers, and they were just getting to the same spot where the guys can actually get to now as well. So it's quite cool, I think.
I mean, Faldo hit like a 2-iron off a hanging lie.
I know.
He absolutely ripped it.
Amazing.
Superb strike. Yeah.
So it kind of brings the game back to where it was back then, I think, which is good because, I mean, otherwise the guys are hitting driver wedge on the green. It's nonsense. So now they've got to hit a good shot to get to that corner. And then it's like a 2-iron or a 3-wood onto the green, I think, from there, which makes it a great hole now.
Yeah.
Because you're hitting 3-wood into that green, you can easily hit into the water. And if you're hitting like a 9-iron or a 7-iron, 8-iron, you can, it's a giveaway, isn't it? So I think great, man. I think great. Superb.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, if, like Stefan said, the weather is going to be bad. I mean, I remember, and Stefan, you mentioned before that Dusty and Zach Johnson, who I believe in 2007, when he won, laid up on the all par fives on all 4 days.
So I used to go, I used to work when I was playing tournaments. I used to work with Mike Bender. Mike Bender was his coach at the time. And they actually had on the driving range, they had a sort of pitching zone set up, you know. And this was like, for Mike, great, because they just kind of brought this thing out where Zach practiced all the distances. And then he won the Masters doing this, like these drills that Mike gave him. So it's become a big thing, this driving range, short game range for Mike Bender.
Yeah. Interesting. Who is up? Long ball, you're up.
Again?
Yeah.
What was the guy's name with the blonde hair that went to the Live?
Stuart Sink.
Cameron Smith.
Stuart Sink.
Stuart Sink. Cameron Smith.
Yeah. I'll take Cam Smith.
You'll take Cam Smith.
Because he's a good guy.
He is a good bud.
He's a great guy.
I want to break the Live thing because I got a feeling nobody wants to pick a Live guy. So I'm going to open it up by being the first liver.
Yeah.
But I think that guy regrets it, I think, going to Live. I mean, he misses golf, I think.
Exactly.
I mean, he got a lot of money, but he just can't play golf anymore.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they do. I mean, you know, do they? I mean, you guys would know. I mean, will they miss this competitive edge? I mean, these guys, you know, the PGA Tour guys, they just played the match play, which is, you know, doesn't get much better in competition than that, and they just don't have that. I mean,
I think it's a Southern Hemisphere thing, because I think when you look at it, all the South Africans and the Australians, they're looking at it thinking, well, where's our kind of, you know, kind of attention, you know, for the Australians and the South Africans. I think they've done it in the hope of getting more attention to Australian and South African golf. I think it's all Southern Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Albert, what do you think about the Live? Albert, is this guy on drugs? What's the deal? Albert, to Prada English.
Maybe don't you speak Danish or something, Ted?
I can speak a little bit of Svenske. Oh.
Now let's hear that.
Well, I just said that.
That's it. It is Albert's pick, so he does have to.
Right, let's hear. Take your time.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll go for Will Zalatoris.
Will Zalatoris. See, the Swedish, they all like the same players. It's a typical Swedish pick.
Did you see that guy's? You see the guy's putty in the match play?
No.
It was all over Instagram and stuff. He had a putt in the match play. And I mean, it was like an explosion going off. It was like maybe, a meter away? And it came off like a rocket. And apparently he pulled out the next day, never played. The next day, I think he's having serious putting problems.
Will Zalatoris. Oh, that's right. He's got that. Look at old Albert. Albert P., you're going to be in last place, but that's normal.
But I mean, this putt, I mean, it was all over Instagram and Twitter, and he hit this putt, and it was like it came off and it went about from about a meter, he hit it about 2.5 meters past, I think. And it was a shocker. I don't think he played the next day because he's putting.
Albert, let me tell you the really fun part about this game and the reason I really enjoy it so much. If you, what do we got? 5 guys on a team, Frank?
6.
6. So, your guys are in 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th place going into day 3. But one guy misses the cut, you're gone. You lose. What a great game.
Well, it's really a talent to pick guys that don't even tee off. Which
is what I did, yeah.
Yeah. And one time we did not manage to pick the winner when Mickelson won the PGA. That was also a stellar performance by the entire team. Mr. Maywald, it is your turn.
Yeah, I stare at the top of the list, of course, because that's the game. And yes. I like Dustin Johnson for several reasons. First of all, for a long hitter, he's an excellent pitcher, which may come handy when the weather is bad. So he's like Zach Johnson, but on drugs. So I think Dustin Johnson could also, he's probably mentally quite strong, let's put it this way, that he's not bothered by all this live stuff going on that certainly will play some role at the Masters. For example, I think Cam Smith is just too much of a nice guy to be unfazed by all that. I think Dustin Johnson, for the reasons I mentioned, so I think it could play a big role in
that. Makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense. That's a good shout, I think.
Yep. That makes
a lot of sense. Aren't you a doctor or something? I remember seeing you in a golf magazine somewhere.
Right, for Golf Magazine. I have a column there, Maywald's Mandat, since about 20 years.
I recognize you. Have you done a lot of drugs? Because that's some insightful shit. That's like flashbacks from LSD or something.
Since 25 years, I read everything that is published about golf. So I'm just completely kind of freaky about that.
Good for you, man.
He'll probably miss the cut. So that's
no, but that was you almost sound like the Dome, that you don't know this guy. We call him the Dome because he got a ball head, right? And he's a caddy. He's got more information that's not important. He'll tell you everything about the PGA Tour, all the statistics. I'm like, we're playing the British Open. I don't think those statistics are going to, matter. Yeah. But the guy's unbelievable. Anyways,
Green book for Augusta. He still has the whole thing, the whole 3D.
You're next, aren't you, Frank, or did you already go?
No, now it is Craig's turn.
Is Morikawa not playing? Why is no one taking Morikawa?
I don't know. I haven't updated the list since Saturday.
Okay, I'm going to go for a guy that's not been playing too good, but I think the bad weather would suit him, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Oh, good call there.
Matt Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
If it's bad weather, he could be your man.
That's a Heinz Feeling favorite.
It is. I will take Matt Fitzpatrick. Very good. And then we go to Doc Timpus, please.
Because I really like him, Shane Lowry.
Oh, good call.
Good call, yeah. Also bad weather player.
Yeah.
Anybody's an Irish guy is going to have to play in bad weather.
That Robert was around
sunshine all the time.
Three days of rain and they go down to 11 degrees Celsius.
What?
Good for an Irish guy.
Great show, guy.
I just spent 6 hours at 9-degree weather. Golly.
Yeah, 6 degrees with us a day. It was freezing.
Man. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, it's a nightmare.
That was the end of round two. Round three kicks off with Mr. Timpus again.
Hideki
Matsuyama. He's been on the leaderboards again. All right. That brings us back to Craig Miller.
I'm going to say Tommy Fleetwood.
He's always in there on the big ones, isn't he?
He's close, man. Yeah, he's also starting to play good. So,
where is he?
Again, a good bad weather player. He's in about, I think Tommy's about
36, 75-1.
Decent, yeah.
Wow.
He's really changed his swing. You know, he's really got more negative swing direction. Remember, he said he didn't hit a fade in 5 years. Now all he's doing is this right
moving
here.
Moving left, he's actually 50. He's gone right down, actually. He's 51-1 on Bet365 now. I think maybe because of the bad weather. Also a good player in the bad weather.
Mr. Hansen, you're up.
First of all,
I'll go for him. If no one wants him.
Wasn't it me? No?
Who did you say? I didn't hear you.
Punk?
He said he wanted Stuart Sink, he said.
And it's Stefan. Stefan is gone. Sorry, I'm sorry. Craig. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Stefan, I'm sorry. My mistake. Okay. Somebody's paying attention.
I think I pick Patrick Reed.
Oh man, look at this guy, Junge.
Yeah, was you know what? Because he's the Liv guy who wants to prove us the most that Liv is worth it, and he basically lives to show the world the middle finger. And what would be? I mean, and he won the Masters, so I think he's at 55-1. He's quite low on this list. I mean, as a he did not do too well on Liv Golf, but that probably doesn't mean anything. So yeah, that's my.
But again, very thoughtful. You're very. There's a lot of thought put into that. I mean, you know, he's the guy that's pissed off the most. I mean, can you imagine him and Rory in the last group on Sunday? Wow.
No.
Why not?
He's gonna miss the cut. That's why. Let me give you the English version of what he just said. That dead horse is going to get up and start running.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
There you go. Now it's Albert's turn.
Albert.
I'm going to move it up a little.
Yeah, I'll have a call.
Morikawa?
Someone has to pick him.
Somebody has to pick him. I don't know why nobody picked him. I mean, why would...
Strange, yeah. Is he playing bad?
Yeah, is he playing bad?
He's kind of off and on right now. He's not in a groove, that's for sure.
All right. After Albert comes Ted Long.
Can you go down a little bit? Because
now we got to go down. Now the first 15 players have been taken off the list. Tell me how far you want to go.
That's what she said. Here we go. Keep going. Is that it?
No. I don't think Ricky Fowler's playing.
Oh, really?
No, he's not in.
He's not in.
You know, if you want to pick...
Look at this answer and Casey, Heinz's favorites together.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's the... Now, I tell you what. Craig, since you're better, help me out here. But stop. I'm either going with Billy Horschel or I'm going to go with DeChambeau. There's some serious talent in there somewhere. Question is, what's happened to DeChambeau? Is he just, I guess, bullet to live? You just... Because if you don't follow it, he could finish second and you would never know, would you?
Yeah. I think he finished, he did all right in the first tournament, did he not?
So who did I say next was?
I think he's battling some mental issues. He said that all this weight stuff did not do him well mentally, which is an alarm sign. And he tries to lose pounds right now. He tries to shave off his muscles. So I don't know.
Bulk.
Yeah, I think that messed him up again on all this long drive.
I'm glad you said that, Stefan. I'm going to start reading your articles because you've given me more good information than anybody in the last
enemies. Hey, come on.
Move up
come
a little bit. So DeChambeau's history. Who did I say
he's
the other guy was?
Horschel. Huh? Horschel. He's not going to win either, though.
Right, but listen, you got to make the cut. Albert, pay attention. Pick guys that are going to make the cut, okay? I'm taking Billy Horschel.
That's a good pick at 90.
And then I'm going to put a bet on him that he's going to win. And I hope he beats friggin' what's his name by one shot that you put your money on. you'd hate me for life if that was the case.
That would be devastating for me, though. That would Billy Horschel beat Jason Day by one shot.
Brother Burley.
Is Victor Hovland still available?
I believe he is, and I would really hate you for taking him right now.
Sorry about that, but it's a Heinz Fielding special.
It is.
I'm a 17, yep.
There you go, Brother Burley.
Okay.
Then who the hell will I take? I'm going to take...
Joachim Niemann.
No, I'm going to take...
Tom Kite's playing, 26.
Stop it. Boah.
Take your time, Frank. You've only had all week to figure this shit out.
We'll take Adam Scott.
There you go, P. That's another hot pick right there.
Mr. Shea is next, and he takes the big cat.
Who the hell's the big cat?
Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be a bad week for Tiger.
Yeah, with the weather, good call, Stefan. Yeah. That you should have pointed that out. He's a nice guy, Stefan. He wanted to say that, but he was giving somebody else a chance to say that. That's a good call.
That was but the end of round three. Round four begins again with Mr. Shea, and he takes Sam Burns.
Damn, I was going to take him next.
And then it's my turn again, and I'm going to take
Sung J.M.
I think so. I just want to check something.
Hey, Casey's brother's playing.
I will take Sung J.
Listen, you could get a lineup of two people, okay? Him and Tony Finau, and I could barely pick him out. Who the hell is? I don't even know who the guy is.
Who? Sung J?
Well, one of those Korean guys has got a good swing. Because he's Korean, isn't he?
Yeah.
One of those guys got a really nice swing.
I don't know which one. But this guy's played well. Didn't he come second once? Something like that. I'm not too... Hatton is still there. Jesus Christ. Okay, round four, the third pick goes to Brother Burley.
Well, I was considering a live player, but I've decided on Tyrrell Hatton instead.
That's a good call there.
Hatton. Oh, Burley's putting together a nice team slowly.
He's hot.
He is on fire today. One guy.
He's going to get Tom Kite's brother, and he's going to die.
So now it is Ted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I'm going to pick this guy, I know I'm rolling the dice with him, so I'm not going to pick him. I'll let somebody else pick him. I'm going to go. I'm really in a lively feeling. I'm going with Brooks Koepka. He just won a tournament, didn't he?
He did.
Did he win on live today?
Yeah. He won on live last week, yeah.
Yesterday.
Yesterday he won on live,
Good call. Good call.
Yeah, he's also a player. You know, those are the big boys. I mean, other than DJ and Cam Smith and Koepka, there's not really... You know, who's missing the other guys?
But, you know, the thing about that is they only show every time somebody wins $4 million. They're only pumping the money on this tour. There's no excitement. I mean, okay, maybe it's not because it's on TV, but, I mean, Martin Keimer, who I absolutely love. Oh, I'm hanging in there for what's the name of his team, the Jingle Bells or something like that. I can't remember the name of their team. Oh, him and his daughter sitting in front of the TV. I'm pulling for the Jingle Bells. And I'm like, what in the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, it's a sad situation.
It's so sad, yeah.
Guy makes $4 million. I don't think it's very sad.
Yeah. No, not really. So everything up here is gone now, everything up here is gone. And it is Albert Hansen's turn. I would make a bet right now that at some point before this is out, he will pick Alex Norm.
No, he knows he's got a lousy... He's not good off.
What do you say, Albert?
No, I go for Tom Kim.
Tom Kim.
I told you. He went for Tom Kite's little brother. Tom Kim Kite.
Tom Kim. He won two this year, didn't he?
That young guy, isn't it?
No, last year.
Have you ever played with him, Albert?
I haven't, but I met him at the tournament last week or 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
He was there to, like, he had a podcast and played a tournament with us, on a par three course. So
isn't he supposed to be playing in the Masters if he won? You mean British Boys or he didn't win the British Am, he won the British Boys, right, Albert?
Yeah.
Yeah, Frank said you won the British Am. Normally you'd be at Augusta if you did that.
Yeah, I'll try to be there next year.
But isn't it still called the British Boys?
I think
they haven't moved it.
The Boys Amateur.
Boys Amateur.
Oh. No, that's not true. That is, you're right. It was the Boys Amateur.
Do you get any tournaments for that, Albert?
I got into final qualifying of the Open.
Okay.
And then the Amateur this year as well.
Okay.
I remember that tournament back in the 80s. And there was a German guy named Oliver Eckstein. I don't know if you know him.
Of course we do.
And it was at Royal Burgess in Scotland, and my brother caddied for him, and he got his ass kicked.
And there were, but there were other guys there. You know, I think Olazabal was there. The Italians were there, and it's a really big tournament. And
but here's the bad news, Albert. Okay, because as you know, I do the rankings.
Yeah,
that the British boys is a tournament where, and now Sergio did win it. I think there's been very few guys that won the British boys who went on to be successful tour players. Now, Stefan, you're probably the only guy that knows this. Give me the one amateur tournament in Europe where the guy who wins it always makes it on tour.
US and Europe.
In Europe?
European amateur.
No.
No, no idea.
You'll never guess. The Portuguese am.
No shit.
Every guy who's ever won that gets on tour.
Wow.
What kind of, that sounds like a, that's like a
Do you have an explanation for that?
No, well, it's a fact. I don't need an explanation.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I mean, that's to dive into. Yeah.
Well, I will say, here's what I will say. It's the first big tournament of the year in Europe, and everybody likes to play in it. So that's probably maybe the reason why. But it's just strange. That was the first tournament I put in my rankings like 13 years ago. Yeah. And the guy that won it was, what the hell's his name? He's an English guy. He still plays on tour. He's a good player. I don't know. Doesn't matter. He got a weird last name.
Right.
I'll go on my rankings and look real quick. Hang on.
There you go.
David Horsey.
So Albert takes Tom Kim, and we are ready for Stefan again.
Okay. Now I'm going to do Ted Long's tactic, and I guess we're not picking winners anymore, just people who make the cut.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think between Justin Rose and Keegan Bradley, there's a lot of experience. Probably Justin Rose is a sure bet to make the cut, at least. I mean.
All right. Very good. Justin Rose off the board. Craig Miller, sir.
This was my boy. Can you go down a bit?
I can.
I'll take Cody Connors.
Oh, the guy, didn't he win the Valero? He did win the Valero.
Yeah. He was one of my tips before the tournament, but two in a row, I don't think he's going to win, obviously, but he made the cut, I think. He's a great putter.
Mr. Timpos, for two picks, please. The last pick of round four and the first pick of round five.
Okay. I really would like to pick, but he is not qualified, Joel Dahm, since Netflix. But
perfect.
Take Danny Willett.
Danny Willett?
Wow.
What number is he?
No.
Is he even on here?
Yeah.
He's playing.
He's a champ. Yeah. Danny Willett.
Eddie Pepperell. That's who I was talking about, Eddie Pepperell.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yes, and the Joel Dahm is not playing.
He's number 80. Number 80.
Danny Willett, number 80. And your first pick in round five, Doc.
Take it up a little more.
Take it up.
Yes. M was second 2020, by the way.
Thank you.
It's crazy when you look at the list. All the live guys are way down in the ranking.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Okay. Sahith Theegala.
Oh, I love that guy.
You know, is he an Indian guy?
I don't know what he is.
But I think he's a low fade. I wouldn't be my pick.
He's a US American.
Is he really?
Yeah. United States.
He looks like
American guy.
Vijay Singh and Tony Finau. Very good, Mr. Timpos. Craig Miller, please, for your fifth pick. Which way do you want me to go?
I'm going to go Minwoo.
Minwoo?
Yeah.
That was my pick. I love that guy's swing. He's phenomenal.
Good player, yeah. He's not got any experience, but if you're going for cut players, he might make the cut, I think.
I like him. He's going to go low once and then die.
Yeah. He'll make a cut, I think.
Stefan.
Yeah, all these guys down there, man. It's crazy. Yeah? The big names are just gone now, eh? Louis and...
I think, yeah, I want to pick Louis because he's kind of he could sneak in the top 25 with
a piece of shit. Why the hell did you say that? I was going to pick him next. This guy would have never picked him. Oh, all the big names. I picked Louis.
Oh, no, I was already eyeing him before. Yeah, because also a Liv golfer who plays not too bad there. So, yeah.
I think I'd like your one podcast where you don't talk so much.
Me? Yeah, I'm trying.
It'd be nice if you talked at all, Frank.
I'm trying. That was Mr. Maywald Oosthuizen. Okay.
Maywald Oosthuizen. What a great name that would be. Imagine
how Maywald Oosthuizen. Absolutely. Name. Yeah. I'm Maywald Oosthuizen. Hello.
That's a great name. That's a good pen name.
It is a pen name. Albert, please, for your fifth pick.
I'll go for Aldrich Potgieter. He's way down there.
Oh, is he an amateur?
Yeah.
I tell you what, Albert, you're really on a hot streak here, my friend. I really like him. Good people. And I hope I help you win the goddamn Portuguese amateur next year. But boy, I tell you what, you couldn't pick your nose. You went with that guy. You don't even need to watch the Masters. You don't even need to turn the TV on. You're going home, my friend. You're going to be riding. You're going to be riding on the courtesy car with Phil Mickelson out the door.
Phil might be my next.
This is like Heinz always picking Bernhard Langer at the Masters Roto Fest. This is the same
kind.
This guy would make the cut.
Yeah.
Where is he? South African.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Good. What kind of player?
Is. Really good. Hits it so far. I think his carry with a driver is over 330. Dead straight every time. He won the Junior Invitational 2 weeks ago with 10 strokes. And
who did he beat? Did you play?
Yeah, he beat me pretty bad.
By 11, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. We'll see how it does.
Yeah, that's a good...
I like your style, Albert. I like your style. I'm going to caddy for you in the Portuguese next year. I'm going down there, and you and me are going to take the world apart.
Wow. There's an announcement. It's your pick, Ted. Should I stay on this page for you? Patrick Harrington, maybe?
No, keep going. I'll let somebody else get Stuart Sink. And he's probably going to make the cut.
What happened to Migliozzi? He was on fire last year.
He's a good guy, but Guido's a guy. He's hot or he's cold. And the last time he's cold, but when he's hot, he's really hot. I gave him his nickname, the Godfather of Golf. Keep going up.
The Godfather of Golf.
Yeah, that's what Guido's name is. I gave it to him about 8 years ago. He loves that name. Keep going. Weiter nach oben.
Weiter nach oben.
I saw my pick in there somewhere.
Bubba.
No. This is going to be the make or break moment in this.
I think so too. This is really going to be it.
Stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk out loud here because I know everybody's thinking with me. I'm either going to go for Joachim Niemann, okay? Uh-huh. Or I'm going to go for Thomas Peters. I know Thomas Peters, he's a beautiful golfer. I really, really like him. But that friggin' Niemann, he's got the touch. Talk to me, Stefan. He's got those hands. He can work the ball. The weather's going to get shitty. Now, Craig will jump in there and tell you he got a lot of log in his swing, lad. And when it gets windy, he'll have a hard time getting the club.
He's got a low ball flight, though.
Okay, I'll take Niemann.
Yeah,
we got to
that's a good. But I don't know. Again, Liv, you know, he would have been a guy that was way up on the list in the last year. But again, he's disappeared. He's disappeared. Exactly. You know, I mean, great player.
Is he? What kind of player is he? I mean, I've never really watched him. I mean, he looks like a pea shooter to me.
He was number one in the world as an amateur.
Was he?
Yeah, he won the Portuguese too.
As was Thomas Peters.
Yes.
And didn't Victor Hovland? Wasn't he low amateur at the Masters?
The U.S. Open, I think.
The Masters as well, I think.
I think so. I don't know. All right, that was who did you take? Niemann. Okay. Okay, one moment. So. Da, 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 da. So where am I? It is okay. Mr. Burley.
I was convinced Ted was going to go for Mito Pereira, but
I don't even know who he is.
Worst swing on tour last year.
He looks like Latka from Taxi.
He had that kind of 28 handicap spinning on his left leg on the 18th hole at the USPGA. I'm going to go for Keegan Bradley.
Keegan Bradley. Oh, interesting.
In form.
Yeah. Good player.
Albert, I've gone through the list. Who did I say won it in the 11? I told you that, didn't I? Greg.
What? Who was what? Who won what?
I'm looking at the results of the Portuguese amateur.
Oh, okay.
Eddie Pepperell.
Who won the? Who was Pepperell the English
won it? Okay. Eddie Pepperell won it. Then guess who? Moritz Lambert. Thank you very much. I coached him. Then Gonzalo Pinto. And I just got to 2000. What am I? 14. Renato Paratori. All those guys have been on tour. I'm going to 2015 now. Ben-den-den-den. Well, I don't know. Paulo Ferreras. Does it help if Christopher Bring was second? He just got on tour. Not bad. I'm telling you, that's a tournament. Watch out for the players there. Mm-hmm. Albert, you fucked up. Excuse my French, Frank. I know that this is a...
No. I encourage this. Albert, are you playing? You
fucked up when the British boys come in. Get your ass down to Portugal and just camp out on that golf course.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, I got it. 1 second. I need to send this very quickly, Jesus.
I knew the dome wasn't going to show up. He's really, I'm telling you what, he can't take it. We hammered him too hard. That story I wrote, remember the story I wrote? Did you read that, Greg?
No.
Which story?
Remember I wrote a story about the dome and all that stuff. I posted it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I remember. That was so nice.
I hammered him pretty hard. He never showed up again.
So that was so nice of you. All right, whose turn is it? It is. Who just picked? I lost the ball a little bit. Who picked Neiman? That was Ted.
Albert.
Brother Burley Albert. Picked Keegan Bradley, right?
Correct.
I have Neiman.
Then it's my turn. I will take. My goodness me.
Abraham Answer. He's never let anybody down in this thing. Not one time.
I will take.
I picked him one time. The one time I bet against him five times, I lost 5 for 5. The sixth time I picked him and he withdrew and I lost before the tournament started.
Oh man, is the weather really going to be bad?
Very bad.
Very bad, yeah.
Oh man, then I got to go for this Irish guy, Austin Powers.
There you go. That's a good one.
Right.
There's Robert McIntyre, who I know Craig's licking his lips on.
Yeah, he's not playing good this so far.
I was just about the same as well.
I don't think so.
Do you not pay your electric bill there, Brother Burley? Turn the lights on.
Burn some of them.
He's on black.
There Casey is. Shea is taking Abraham Answer.
I knew it.
And with his last pick, he is taking. And he always takes this guy. I don't even know if he's playing, Webb Simpson. He always picks Webb Simpson. I don't know. He has a crush on Webb Simpson. Is he on here?
Yeah, I've seen him somewhere. Quite down the list.
Yeah. Zeb Straka.
He's actually playing pretty well, isn't he? There's Webb Simpson right there. There's
Shea. And then it is my last pick. I'm going to take, Jesus, they're all gone now. I'm going to take.
Simpson is not playing.
Is he not playing?
Harry Woodland, that would be a good pick.
Simpson's not playing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Then he's taking Zach Johnson. Casey.
That's a horrendous pick. Frank, I can't believe you would pick that guy.
I did not pick him. Casey did.
Who did?
Casey.
He picked Zach Johnson.
He picked Zach Johnson, and then
you know, I am going on the record and saying the history of all of our things.
You know,
he's the first pick in history.
His next pick would be Harold Varner, and then his last pick would be Stuart.
He's already out the game. He's out the game. I want you to go to every one of his picks, highlight him, and put him in red because they're dead. His team is history.
I'm going to go with Bubba.
That's a worse pick than that other one. You're out too. I tell you what, Albert, you have a chance now. You have a chance. These guys just picked their way right out of this game.
All right, Brother Burley, for your last pick, please.
Yeah, I'd like to go for Robert McIntyre, please.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, this guy makes great putters and he can pick good players.
Thank you, Tim.
Albert, you might want to get a putter. They're on sale. You get three for a dollar.
That's a great compliment, Tim. Thank you very much.
What's that?
Listen, guys, just a quick one. If you don't mind, I want to leave because it's my daughter's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Little Burley.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Have a nice night.
Stuart, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, boys.
We'll see you soon.
Take care, man. All
right.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, Ted, your last pick. And, Ted, get a load of this. One dome leaves.
You mean Heinz? Is Heinzley coming?
One dome left and another dome is coming.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Hey,
young man.
It's Mr. Drew Heinzley. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm sorry I'm late. My computer hasn't been turned on in about 2 weeks, and it's acting like it. So,
yeah. Well, we've missed your expertise and your personality.
Nobody.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of new guys here that
personality.
Yeah, look at those people. We got Albert Hansen right on top of you. He's from Sweden. We got Stefan Maywald up in the corner on the left. I don't know who the guy on the right is in the red shirt and the white hat. And I don't know if you, Michael, do you know Drew?
Nope.
No. Michael Timpas here from the area where I live, a golfer, this physician, cigar aficionado, and Craig Miller, one of our ex-PGA Teachers of the Year.
Why is he ex? How can, what is he ex? Did he get divorced from the title? He's still got the title. He's not ex.
He's a former.
He's got the title.
He's got the title? Well, he's got the title. What's with Drew now? Where's Drew?
He's behind that green coat bottle.
I don't know what's going on with me. I'm here. I can hear you.
Yeah. Drew, what's going on with you?
Drew, if you're looking for a bag when you want to get back to the men, Albert's won the Portuguese Amateur, which every year the guy wins it, gets on tour. So Albert's going to be on tour and he's going to be looking.
Well, I haven't won the Portuguese.
Albert, that's in the bag. Me and you right here, buddy. You and me, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
There's a kid I keep seeing on the Golf Channel. His name's Hurley Long. You might know him, Ted. Seems like he's got a little talent. I don't know about his coach, but he's got talent.
Well, I got news for you. He moved to Florida, and I saw him last on January 7th, and that was a last decent shot he's hit, I think. He played horrendously this year. Horrendous.
I saw him at the Olympics, so I know he's pretty good at golf.
He's very good at golf, but he's not very good at organizing his you-know-what. And we'll see.
He's still young.
I'm trying to find him somebody in Orlando to work with because he has to be around somebody regular. Otherwise, okay. He's just kind of...
Gary Gilchrist is at Howie in the Hills.
Yeah, I know. So... believe it or not, I'm trying to hook him up with Ledbetter because Ledbetter's seen a lot of coach or a lot of players. He's not a real system guy. And Hurley, okay. I don't want somebody who's going to try to take his swing apart, you know. So if you went to like Sean,
good choice, man. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a real natural golfer, and I don't like
keep him. Keep the natural exactly golfer. Sure. Yeah, correct.
Drew, you want to pick a couple of guys, catch up?
Oh yeah, who's available?
The top guy available would be Taylor Montgomery, whoever that is.
Oh, that's an awful top guy to be available.
But hang on a second, before you pick, I just want your opinion on a couple of these last picks because you're the fat guy. We've now, Stefan is the European dome. Okay. He got a lot of really smart comments, but you got the facts. Have Frank, tell him who your last pick was, please.
Bubba Watson.
He took Bubba Watson. And who did Shea pick before that?
Shea picked, I don't even know.
Zach Johnson.
Can you believe that?
You know, Casey has a way of sneaking ahead of me, so I'm not going to bust him too bad. But I'm 160 kilometers from the golf course, and it's been raining all day, and it's going to rain for the next couple of days. So if you hit it less than 300 on average off the tee, I don't think I want to pick you this week.
Yeah, I know that. I can't believe he picked that. It's a boat anchor. Albert will not finish last.
Well, and the thing with Zach is, you're going to get mud balls because they cut the grass into you at Augusta. So you land into the grain. So that's why a lot of mud ends up on the ball because you're always landing into the Velcro. So you get a lot of mud balls, and you're adding the fact that Zach's going to be hitting hybrid into some par fours with mud balls. So you could get some really, really weird lies and some big scores because of that. I'd stay away from a short hitter.
Is the committee, are they big on letting them touch the ball, or do they always want to play it down?
The old joke is, and I actually think this is pretty close to the truth, the rules meeting every morning with all the officials, they gather them together and they say, no drops today, meeting adjourned. That's kind of how it is there. You play it down no matter what.
Unless you have a guy like that on your bag, Albert. How this guy's got information is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Bryson and I were in the somebody's chair mark on a hill, and the official was actually somebody I've known for many, many years. He did not deem that we should get relief. I see him 3 weeks later and I go up to him. I go, hey, what gives? No relief on 9 on Sunday at Augusta? He said, you got it up and down for par. I said, that's not what counts. So that's how they act.
Well, tell us,
you're worse, you shouldn't have got a drop.
Give us some insight on Bryson. He's lost the plot. What's the deal? What's going on there?
Yeah, I would say that's probably a good way to phrase it right now. He had a good round yesterday in the live event in Orlando, actually made an eagle on a par 5, which he hasn't done in a long time. So he might be finding it again. I know it's against 47 other competitors, some of which aren't exactly world-class players like Siwon Kim. But
Poltergeist. What was his name that you picked? Poltergeist?
Somebody picked Polter already.
No, Poltergeist. What the hell's his name, Albert? The guy you picked?
Poltergeister.
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 And is Bryson losing weight as well now? Is that correct?
What's that?
Is Bryson trying to lose all the weight again now?
He has lost the weight. He's kind of back to his pudgy kind of self. You knew he couldn't sustain that diet, that much caloric intake. And again, his dad just died of diabetes. So he's got a family history of not the greatest health when it comes to those things. And he wasn't eating unhealthy, but he was putting a lot of stress on his organs. And so that kind of came back to bite him and may have gotten all that sorted out. Again, we finished tied for 21st in 2016. And every year after that, I'm like, this is the year, especially 3 or 4 years ago, he had the first round lead. I was like, okay, this is the year he really plays like he's capable of playing there and has a really good finish. And like most guys, that's the tournament he wants to win the most. And he's never bested that T21, which really surprises me. This is probably the first year going in where I feel like that T21's pretty safe to hold up. I can't imagine him being in the top third of the golfers this year, just based on what...
But if you had to pick between him and Zach Johnson, you'd pick him, wouldn't you?
I'd have to really think about that because Zach has actually shown a little bit of form. Again, horses for courses kind of with Zach. Some of the shorter, places like a Pebble Beach or something where he doesn't have to bash driver all day long, but maybe 2 or 3 times. Maybe Zach, again, guys like Brendan Todd and Zach Johnson, they know when they need to play well. Kevin Na said it a few years ago when he won Colonial. He said, I've got 5 chances every year to win and I better take advantage. And so those guys kind of know, but yeah, I would probably take my chances with Bryson over ZJ right now, just because of the length. And this week it's going to be cooler. It's going to be wet. And again, you're going to have a lot of debris on your golf ball. So you want to have as short a club as possible, like into 5, into 14, you don't want the ball going too far sideways with the different tiers on 14, because you could hit the green there and a 3-putt's actually pretty decent. If you're coming up one of those tiers and it gets a little speed, because as much as it rains, they're still going to suck the moisture out of that ground with that sub air. So You can still see speed on the ground, even though the first hop's going to be very soft.
I'm going to tell you something, Gerald. You're amazing. Albert, huh? How about Ryan Boggs for the dome? He's back, man. This guy is money. Now, Albert, listen, your first podcast, every podcast, I have a question, and the new guy gets the answer right. He gets an all-expense-paid trip to Portugal to play in the Portuguese Amateur, okay? So here's the question. Who holds the course record at Pebble Beach?
I know it.
Well, hold on. He has to answer it. You're not getting it.
I do not.
Melina Venn.
Look, well, Tiger Woods has to shot some
look at this. No, a guy's a lot better than Tiger Woods. Tell him, Stefan.
It's a young German named Hurley Long.
Yeah. little Ted, little long ball, mini long ball. That's always a great question. I just read a great question, and it was for the stat guys. Which American or European player won two majors and never played a Ryder Cup?
Oh, I knew that.
Well, Andy North?
No, John Daly.
John Daly.
Yeah. Good call. That fucking, oh, Gerald, he gets them all.
Gerald, who are you cutting for? No,
Frank, you maybe give away on this trivia question. There's four different men to answer this question. The first two-time winner, three-time winner, four-time winner, and five-time winner at Augusta. Who are they? And I'll give you a hint. The guy, the first three-time winner will probably be the last one that comes to your mind.
Well, obviously, four different Nicholas would be the first five-time winner because he won six times.
Correct.
Four-time winner with Palmer.
Correct.
Three-time winner. It wasn't Billy Casper. Who the hell would it be? Three-time winner. Ray Floyd won it once. I think it was 78 or 77.
The three-time winner, with Easter Sunday being this Masters Sunday as well, the three-time winner is also the only person to win two different Masters on Easter Sunday. And he's not a very religious person.
Gary Player, he didn't win three times, did he?
He did win three times, but he was not the first three-time champion.
Did Hogan win three times?
He won twice.
That's not the answer.
It's not the answer.
Sam Snead?
No, sir. Close.
Oh, that means we're getting in the right neighborhood.
Right, yeah.
First three-time winner.
The first two-time champ's fairly obvious.
Is it? Albert, jump in here, my man. You're a history
buff. Let's go, Albert. You're supposed to be a know-it-all from
me. I'm too young. I don't know these guys.
the first two-time winner is the 1934 and the 1936 champ. Come on.
Hermann Kaiser.
No, close, though. He was the 46 champ.
Oh. You got that list in front of you? Nobody's as smart. Let's see.
Bryson named all his clubs after Masters champs, so the 46 degree pitching wedge was the Kaiser.
Interesting. I call my
55 degree was the Harvey for Harvey Ward, the low am in 1955. So again,
I call my staff wedge, which is 50 degrees. I call it Curtis because that's first name.
It's okay. Okay, so who's the first two-time champion?
The first three-time champion was Jimmy DeMeritt.
Cliff
Rock did not approve of his nightlife and his carousing lifestyle, so he's one of the few three-time champions to not have any type of honorary status or fountains or bridges named after him. And he joked before his death, he said, "You thought, based on what Mr. Roberts thought of me, they'd at least name the toilets after me."
That's hilarious. He was a great guy. I loved him.
Nice.
And the first two-time champ was, of course, the first champion, Horton Smith, who won the first and the third.
Interesting.
Separated by Gene Sarazen, shot heard around the world in 1935.
Exactly.
Number 15. So I got to make some picks, and it doesn't sound like I got any guns left.
What was in the first Masters, wasn't the 10th the first hole?
It was, and they flipped the nines basically due to the lack of sunlight, name in corner. So instead of it being the 11 green being the second green, 12 being three, and having frost delays, they thought we'll flip the nines And by the time the guys get to 11 green in the 12th hole, it'll be mid-morning, and hopefully all that frost will be gone and there won't be any delay. That's why the routing is what it is today.
Man, this is an unbelievable knowledge.
Yeah, but listen, I want to tell Albert something. Albert, you've grown up in the era with smartphones and all that shit, okay? Yeah. I grew up, if you didn't have coins in your pocket when you left the house, you weren't calling anybody, okay? It was only pay phones. That's all there was, right? But this is really important to know. In the old days, CBS, you got the Masters first on Saturday, and they always picked it up on the back nine. So you wouldn't know until the TV went on, because there's no internet or nothing, how the tournament stood. It would just come on and suddenly there it was. It was amazing. And I grew up in Germany, and the Germans, they didn't care about golf back then. We had to wait. The Stars and Stripes was the newspaper from the Americans overseas here, the government or the military. If by 11:30 at night the tournament wasn't determined, you wouldn't get the results till Tuesday. So Monday would come out, we'd open up the sports page, and they wouldn't tell you who won the Masters. You had to wait till Tuesday to get the results from the Masters. My dad was a general. He would get on one of those special phones, call over to the friggin' Pentagon to find out who won the tournament. That's what life used to be like, Albert, my friend.
It's different times now.
That's just Ted's way of telling you how important he is, that he used to get his master's results from the military headquarters of the United States of America.
Pentagon. All right.
I'm in trouble, man.
We will let Mr. Hinesley pick five players.
Is he going to pick ones that are left?
Wow, you guys, what time did this thing start?
An hour ago.
Oh, my bad. So sorry. Wow. Okay, so I get five players. I don't know who's available.
The ones that you see here, Pereira, DeChambeau, Kirk, Wise.
Wise is not playing.
Casey, Garcia, Riley, Berger, Noren, Leishman, Kitayama, Siwoo Kim, Henley, Gooch, Woodland, Peters.
I tell you what, you could go Henley. You could go Henley, Woodland, Peters,
Meronk,
and Gooch, and you wouldn't have a chance to make. You'd do better than you would, Frank. I got no clue, man. You're leaving the building.
Who's available? All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to take. Give me Kirk Kitayama. Davis Riley's in the Masters.
I don't know. This is a list from Saturday. I don't know if it's accurate. I mean, I
can't get in the Western right now. I can't believe he's in the Masters. All right, give me.
Adrian Meronk. He's a good player. I like the guy. Cameron Champ, another good player. Just
his name. Give me that guy. Give me Meronk.
He's a great guy. He's a big guy, too. He's a really nice guy. Make it even smaller, Frank. Then it'll be even funner to do this. Damn, guys. This is like something out of a TV show here.
Which one? Who do you want, Meronk?
And give me, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go crazy here. I'm going to go heavy Liv. I'm going Sergio.
Oh, come on now. You're out. Albert, you and I are the only ones left. Craig's got a decent team, and I like Stefan, but he's too young to be able to win this early.
I'll take Bryson, and I'll take Mito. I can't believe I'm taking those guys. I wish I'd gotten here on time.
Well, they're too bad, huh?
I hate my team. I hope it finishes in last.
Well, Mito, I like him. He's good people. I think he's going to do well after almost winning the
tournament. No, Mito's a good kid, and he's got a good buddy of mine on the bag. I wish they had done a little better at Southern Hills, but it would have been a little poetic. Scotty split with his caddy, Scotty McGinnis, and won the Masters with Ted Scott, and then Scotty McGinnis is caddying for Mito Pereira, and they almost won the PGA the next major. I thought that would have been very poetic had that happened, because Scotty's a good dude. But unfortunately, they didn't play so good on 18.
Who are you cutting for now, Gerald?
kind of in between. Actually, that's one reason I was late. I was on the phone with a couple people just trying to sort some things out. Not sure which way I'm going to go next. Got a
Why don't
couple
you go
offers.
Call my son up. I'll give you his number. You can caddy face. He's playing in Dallas next week in the whatever that Corn Ferry tour.
Is he really? The Veritex Bank?
Yeah. He, trust me when I tell you this. Hurley has never had a caddy who's going to be able to give him information in a way that he could assemble it to make a good decision. Most of his guys, you got to kind of tap dance around it. But you're so good with facts, you're hard to argue with.
Well, I don't, my wife would argue with you on that.
Well, yeah, but those not do with facts when it comes to women. Write all this shit down, Albert.
The fact is, I'm right, honey. No. Yeah, we'll get together. That's fine. But yeah, entertaining a couple offers.
Okay.
Again, never know which way you're going to go. And I got a buddy that's actually going to try to Monday qualify into that Veritex Bank. So who knows? I could be going that way one way or the other. So.
Well, I tell you one thing. You're really impressive to listen to. And yep. I mean, I don't give out compliments easily. I mean, it's so weird. No, really. I mean, you're really impressed. I mean, I've caddied in the British Open. I've been around all the caddies on the European tour over the years. I never met anybody with such thorough knowledge. I mean, really, it's very impressive.
Thank you, Ted. I really appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you.
I would probably would. Yeah. Albert, write that down. That's another thing. Albert, just out of curiosity, are you fat or something? Could you lower the camera? I keep looking at that light. Could we see a little bit more of you? Keep going. There you go. Huh? Oh, that looks it right there. That looks like the winner of the Portuguese.
Oh, game. God, Ted, I'm really. I missed all of you guys, but Ted makes me laugh.
And we're ready for Ted's last pick.
I've got the winning team. And I'm going to tell you something. In the history of this thing, I've never had a stronger team.
I'm late, so I don't know who has what until you send me the email. So go ahead, give me your picks so far before you give me the final one.
Start at the top. Start at the top, Frankie, and work the way down. This is the hottest team I've ever had. I can't believe how good I am.
Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth.
Cameron Smith.
Cameron Smith. Keep going.
Koepka, Niemann.
Brooks Koepka.
You went pretty heavy on the live, too.
Hey, I don't give a shit. Them guys can play. And, you know, I'm happy, and I've said this. I told some guys this, and then I got Billy Horschel, who was always good there, I think.
And that's it. That's your five.
Here's Who's the only guy to shoot four rounds in the 60s at Augusta National in the Masters?
I know that answer.
Cam Smith. I knew that as well. Cam Smith. That was easy.
Cam Smith, and he did not win that year, amazingly enough.
Yeah.
But listen, here's my... I said this when it comes to LIV. I think LIV is good because it kind of opened up the windows and it blew out all the old cobwebs of the guys hanging around. Because as you know, the old guys run the tour and they got all their special categories. And if you ever look at the entry list, and I know Craig knows this because he knows to like to teach younger guys, and your guys is hanging around here. And then you look at the top medical extension and all these other things that these guys former Ryder Cup caddies whose sister married a major winner. I mean, it's amazing the categories they have to get these guys in tournaments. So all these guys are off to the live. So you got like 12 young guys that get into tournaments now. It makes it.
Yeah,
and
good.
They got paid off, and I'm happy for them. And, you know, here's my honest opinion on it. Since when did the PGA Tour become the enforcing arm of the U.S. government, right? We're still selling airplanes and doing everything, buying oil from the Saudis, and we're not supposed to take their money for a golf tournament? I mean,
again, I'm not sure every company that sponsors a PGA event's completely on the up and up with their employment practices and their financial, you know, investments. So I think it's kind of, you know, living in a glass house. Again, my wife does not care where my commission check comes from.
I'm telling you, man.
She just wants to know there's food on the table because I carried a golf bag last week. That's all she cares about.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, and this is a fact. And I've said this to some of the guys on the European Tour, the DP World Tour, and there's a couple of the guys at work, you know, my buddies that I played with that are like tournament directors. I said the greatest hate fuck in history is when the LIV guys have a Ryder Cup against the PGA Tour. That is what's made for TV. You think about that. You talk about an instant explosion in ratings. That would be the greatest thing in the world. I mean, really.
I think the only thing, the only reason the PGA wouldn't do that right now, because I think there is some animosity and there's some interest in that. But right now, the PGA doesn't want to give that kind of a platform to Liv. Right now, yeah. Liv is a bit invisible here in the States. They're just, they're not on a watchable network. Nobody knows when they're on. Nobody knows when they start. So right now, the PGA Tour wouldn't want to put air into their balloon, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it would take away from the Ryder Cup. Because it would immediately supersede the Ryder Cup, because it would be the best players from here and there. Because I don't care what you think, there's a lot of good players playing on the Liv. That's a fact. Okay, there back to you.
Your last pick.
I got to do Bernhard something. Huh?
Is Bernhard still available?
Barnyard?
He is. Heinz is not here. Heinz would have picked him.
The last guy to win a major championship with the Persimmon Wood.
Is he really?
Huh. Look at these. This is like, this is like Jeopardy.
No, you know what it's like. Listen, you know you're going to make some easy money. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to have a small coffee table book, which basically is going to be on the toilet, right? So it's going to replace the iPad. We're going back to the old days, and it's going to be Tales from the Dome. Okay, and you're going to write your little stories, and you're only going to need about 50 stories or 40 stories that you've got going in there, and they're just little two-page stories, and you have it sitting next to the toilet. You'll be rich.
Ted, give us your pick. We got to go. We got to move.
I'm going to take Thomas Peters.
Thomas Peters. Okay.
And I really, for the money, I think I should have taken Casey, because whatever reason,
he's gone.
Go to Liv.
Yeah, Casey's at Liv. That leaves us with Albert for his last pick.
I'll go for Norrin. I have to.
He goes for Norrin. Stefan.
Meine beiden Picks sind jetzt gerade vor mir dahin geflossen.
Alex doesn't get it very far. I've been around Alex, and nobody, I mean nobody,
practices
grinds it out better than Alex Norrin.
All right, Norrin then.
Going to be.
Yeah, he put Norrin next. Norrin picked Norrin.
Yeah,
okay, give me just for patriotism, Francesco Molinari.
There you go. Hey, see, this is the kind of pick I like.
That in itself means nothing.
He
was one pine cone away from a green jacket.
Yeah, he was.
One pine cone on 15. He hit that pine cone. It came down.
Oh, yeah.
Put in the water. Tiger wins.
Yeah, really, really unlucky. Guys, I got to go. It was a pleasure.
Stefan.
Ted, I will contact you. I will contact you on Instagram.
Okay.
If I may.
Yeah, please.
Some story.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Stefan Meyerwald, thank you very much. His book, Meine Beine in Italien, is running up the chart.
Great, thank you.
Go out and buy it.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Stefan. Take care, man.
We are back with Craig Miller for his last pick.
Okay, big hat of Cam Davis.
That's a good call.
Which one? I didn't hear you.
Cameron Davis.
Cameron Davis.
Miles, man.
There he is.
Number 57.
Yeah, I see him.
He's a big hat.
Albert is a sidebar. Have you understood anything that Craig said to this during this podcast?
I'm our best.
So here's when you play in the British amateur and you get to do a Scottish caddy and he gives you some advice, all you have to know is this one line and you just keep telling this. I can't do it. I caddied at the British when Tom Watson, I was the last person, write this down in the Tales from the Dome. I was the last person to talk to Tom Watson before he teed off at Turnberry.
So you're the reason.
I told him, he was sitting there chipping. It's a little uphill green. He was chipping up the hill. And I was walking because we're teeing off on the other side. I was caddy for Stefan Gross. And I said, good luck, pro. He looked at me, goes, thanks. Bam, and that's all it took. I changed his life.
So Stuart,
life.
Buddy of mine, he said he didn't care anything about being late to that tee in the playoff, but he knew one thing. He stopped at a port-a-john about 150 yards from the tee box, and he just stood in there until Tom got there. He said, I'm going to be the last guy to that tee because I'm not going to be standing there when Tom walks up and gets this warm reception, and I'm going to be intimidated because he's the crowd favorite. So Stewart stood in the corner, John, let Watson get to the tee, heard the applause, and then he walked up.
That's his story. The real story is that the smallest, this goes into the book too. You tell that story, and then you said you were in the jigger, which is on the 17th hole, telling that story, and this small, short Scottish guy stood up and says, I was there. He pissed in his pants the whole time. That's all bollocks. He went in there because he was scared shitless and took a piss in his pants. Did you get that, Albert? He peed in his pants. How do you say that in Svenska?
Now you're really rolling. What's up with Matty, Craig? Have you been in touch with
him? I'm in touch with him. He's done quite a bit of changing. He's very happy with what he's doing. He's gone a little bit technical. Just got to be careful he doesn't lose his natural Matty. You know, he was always a great player. Nice.
It's the same thing. I will give you some hope on that because, I mean, I think he's done some good work on his backswing. I'd hate that slam on the brakes stuff like that they do. But, you know, hey, if it works, I don't care. There's a thousand ways to swing a club well. But
it feels good. It feels good. I mean, I spoke to him this week and there's a lot of good things happening. It's not going his way, you know, like yesterday again. He struggled a bit yesterday, shot 2 over last round and then dropped to 48th. But it's not far away. What's your vibes? Have you heard anything, Gerald, about Matty Schmidt?
Marty Schmidt?
Matty.
He just got his
car. Marty's his brother. He doesn't play anymore.
On the DP World Tour?
No, he's played PGA Tour now. He got his card. I was coaching him, and he got his card for the DP World Tour. In the first season.
I know him as Matthias Schmidt.
Yeah,
is that same guy.
Yeah.
I like what I see. I think, yeah, he struggles a little bit right now, but I think that's just kind of that's the way it used to be, right, Ted? You came out, you struggled for a little bit till you figured it out. You got everything in place.
But here's the deal. He and Craig had some really – he two-time European amateur champion, gets out Rookie of the Year on the DP World Tour, right?
Silver medal British Open.
Silver medal British Open, yep.
And then he goes out and struggles a little bit, and all these guys are running to this German kid who's doing a good job. I mean, he's a great swing instructor, but he's got his own little deal going there, how they swing it. And it's probably the polar opposite of what Craig taught him. He's a tall guy with long arms. He had a bit of a swing, had some lag in there, and he used to squeeze it nightly, and now he's getting quite rigid. But, I mean, he's got nice lines in his swing now. But the part about it is, look, this is what I believe. Albert, write this down, my friend. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't. If you know your swing, you know what makes it go wrong, and when it's not working, you know the little bits you can do to scrape through, to get through the round until you get on the range to fix it again. And if you got, and slowly but surely over time, you know what that is, and you just kind of work your way to get better and better. And when you do a rehaul, when that shit goes sideways, you got no clue how to deal with it.
Martin Keimer won the PGA Championship, won the U.S. Open, won the Players Championship playing left to right. But for some reason, he thought, well, I need to learn how to hit a hook to go play one golf course.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about this week. And it derailed him to the point where last year, was it last year or 2 years ago, maybe? Yeah, 2 years ago at Whistling Straits, I'm in the middle of the eighth fairway at the Ryder Cup. I turn around, Martin Keimer's right behind me, and I said, why aren't you playing? Why are you coaching? He shook his head like, don't know. That's how quickly it can go awry when you're chasing the wrong thing. So what Ted says, the devil you know. Maybe he didn't like his fade. Maybe it was bleeding a little too far to the right. But the phrase is, dance with the girl that brought you. So whatever Matthias did that got him to that stage, he needs to either go back to or at least try to reincorporate some of that stuff in his game.
But listen. I think that young guys – now, Albert, I know you're down by Malmo now, right? Is that where you are? Are you near
there? I am.
Where were you at?
I'm back home now.
Well, what does that mean? Is that a place in Sweden? What's the name of that place?
It's like a bit north of Gothenburg.
Kortebert. I played at Tunisson, made my first hole in one there.
Oh, you did? Cool.
That's a great course.
Is there a plaque there for you, Teddy?
There is. And you know, and I have guys actually send me pictures in the mail and ask me to sign it where they're sitting next to my plaque, and I mail it back to them. Obviously, I want them to pay the postage in advance. No, but let me trust me when I tell you this, okay? A lot of guys who grew up in a small area, and Mati grew up where he is, and it's a part of Germany that nobody wants to go to, okay? It's just out in the middle of nowhere. It's where the Puma headquarters are, but it's nothing there. And a lot of times you think, well, there's bigger, better things out there than what I've got, right? But sometimes that what you got is what makes you strong, because the trust factor's there. You're not scared to tell your coach what you're scared of. I coached a lot of tour players. I had one girl, she was phenomenal, but she never wanted to out that she, it wasn't about winning as much as it was just being there and being comfortable, right? And if you get somebody who you can talk to, and it might even be, and I don't know, you actually went down there once with him, didn't you, to Stuttgart? Right? Did that kid?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
He went, I mean, what kind of coach is going to say, hey, I'll go down there with you and we'll listen to what the guy's got to say? Because that's usually an invitation he's heading out the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not many coaches that do that for you. The fact that he still contacts the guy, I mean, the average coach would hope you get a case of the shanks. That's a fact. I'm just going to tell you that, right? Mm-hmm. And he's hanging in there with him like that. You get out there in the big world, and Drew knows this better than anybody because he spent the most time on both tours and all over the place. Everybody out there is a shark. Everybody's trying to make a living off of you. Everybody loves you when you're good, and they don't know you when you're bad. And I'm going to tell you something. If you got a couple people in your life that always treat you the same wherever you go, that keeps you grounded.
That's more valuable than gold.
It is. It's absolutely true. But anyways, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, he's a great kid, and I mean, he's like I became part of the family, really. You know, and we had a great 7 years, and yeah, it was great for me, and it was a great experience and stuff. And yeah, I mean, he's got to make his own way. He's got to know, and he's got to search. And yeah, sure, like you say, there's loads of guys out there that are trying to be the next big thing and change his swing and say, I've got the right way for you and that. But yeah, I mean, he's happy. So obviously it's not an easy thing he's going through right now. It's up and down, but I still believe he's going to win. I think he's got all that needs to be. If he can get that performance side of his game back again, he's a bit maybe too technical right now. Try to change things quite a lot since November time, December time. And yeah, it's a risky thing to do, I think, as well, you know?
Well, I think another thing, too, is, and this is really important for people that are, if they don't know this, is the European Tour or the DP World Tour is kind of jammed in between the Korn Ferry and the U.S. Tour, right? So it's not really that hard if you're a pretty solid player to get established. And if you get established and after 3-4 wins on that tour, you're up in the top 50 in the world, you're going to start playing against the big boys anyways in the big events. Then if you go over to that tour, it's not such a big, you know, switch. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the guys that want to live, but I would think the U.S. Tour, if you play two over the back nine, you know, you're going to get absolutely, you know, stampede. Yeah.
And that's what he said himself. He said this the depth of player is in America crazy. And compared to, I mean, they're all good players in Europe, don't get me wrong. And that's what he said. But he said, you know, to get in that top 20, you've got to be really, really on your game, like you said.
And you got to be on your life, too. You got to have...
I mean, Gerald knows, you know, everyone's got to be in the right place. Everyone's got your mindset. Everything's got to be perfect to be up the top there.
You're getting all this down, Albert. You don't seem very excited with all this good advice.
I'm running it down.
Who are we to talk to a former British boys champion? I mean, you know, we're just a couple hacks. What's your handicap now, Albert? You down to scratch? What are you at now?
I think I'm a plus 4 something.
Is it? Come on. I thought you'd be at least plus 7. We got to get that handicap to plus 6-5 or something before we go to Portugal.
No, I like
it's the rankings that matter, not the handicap.
That's you gave me 20 shuts around.
Big man in the rankings. Albert, tell the truth. My ranking's a lot better than the Wagger, isn't it? Have you ever looked into my rankings?
I've been there, yeah.
Do you know how I do that? Why you pick your eight of your best eight of your last whatever tournament you play? I think that's a lot fairer because the problem is when you go into an average, you can win two tournaments. If you play three tournaments in a row shitty and get like 3 points, that stays in your portfolio for the next couple of years. Who's to say that you had three bad weeks that you're not the best player in the world? I mean, that's mind-boggling to me.
So this Matty Schmidt, I just pulled him up and I realized I've met him. He played at Louisville in about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe. His coach brought them through. Louisville,
thank you.
Great,
played at East Lake on their way to an event. And so I just, again, just, hey, how are you guys doing? Quick. But I did see him out. This was 4 years ago. Is that right? He was still at Louisville?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Albert, here's another 100-year-old question. Who helped Matthias Schmidt get a scholarship to Louisville?
I think you did.
No, Ben Hogan.
Well,
no, I did do that. Are you going to go to college, Albert?
Yeah, I'm going to college.
Do you know where you're going?
I'm going to Georgia Tech.
Oh, really? You must be a smart guy.
I'm going there
right around the corner from Drew.
Yeah, it's right around the corner from Drew. What's the matter with Georgia Tech, Drew?
He's gone.
He's gone. He's getting some kind of Georgia Tech jersey.
He's a
bulldog. He's a bulldog. That's why.
Tech's a good place. It's a nice place. You'll like it there.
The bulldog.
Albert, if you want to see pretty girls in the 4 years you're at college, go to Georgia.
As you go to Athens, then.
Do you know what they call pretty girls at Georgia Tech?
What?
Do you know what they call beautiful women at Georgia Tech?
No, I haven't heard.
Visitors.
I knew you were going to say that. It is, Albert. It's a bit of a white nerd school.
It's not so much white anymore. It's very, very Asian.
Oh, is it really? Their
scores are just better in the technology, sector. So it's, my grandfather graduated from Georgia Tech. He sent two children, his oldest and his youngest, to Alabama, and his middle four to Georgia. And his line was always, I guess none of my children wanted a real education. So we have a nice little rivalry in my family, but Tech is a wonderful school. You'll do a good job. Are you going to play golf there?
Yeah.
No, he's going there to learn sewing. What the hell you think? He won the British Boys.
Play
what
there?
You think he's going there for? Yeah, he's going to play golf. He got a golf scholarship.
Well, I know Bruce Hepler.
Oh, he did.
Tell him you know me, and he'll probably make you run stadium stairs for a week when you get there.
I will tell you, here's a great story about Hepler. I was in California at the Armor Ari, and that's probably one of the reasons you're going there because you get to play that tournament. You go out there for a week. It's a great tournament. And I think it's somewhere the third or fourth hole, the par five, and it goes over the water. And I'm sitting over there talking to him, and he's telling me stories about when he was at Oklahoma State about the famous coach there. And
his Coach Holder.
Mike Holder. His player hits it on the green, and it sucks back down into the water. And it's probably about a meter edge, and it goes down, and it goes onto the sand, and it goes into the water about this deep. And his player takes off his shoes and walks in the water to hit it. And suddenly, he's laughing, telling this story, and he got dead serious. And you could see, and he goes, "Well, that's me all in," because he knew if the guy didn't get it out of the water, he's going to be hacking away till the water was out of the lake. Oh, that was hilarious. And then the guy got it out, man, and all of a sudden he's like, all right. But it was unbelievable. I'll never forget. That's me all in. He's a good guy, though. He's a very good guy. He's been extremely successful. And he, by the way, recruited Stuart Sink. He told me when he was recruiting Florian Fritsch, who I coached, and I was talking to him on the phone, and I told him he was at 90%. I said, you've got to go to 100. And I'll never forget it. He said to me, he goes, I've only ever given 100% to one other guy, and that was Stuart Sink. And you probably on 100% now, so you're the third guy. Look at Albert smiling over there. I mean, big-time British boys champion like you, but you're at least on 85, I hope. That's an expensive.
So, Albert, when will you start at Georgia Tech?
Fall of 2024, so next
okay.
year.
Okay, so a year and a half. Well, all right. Well, listen, I'm out at Eastlake. You guys play your qualifying rounds at Eastlake, so I am looking forward to welcoming you to Atlanta and seeing you swing up close and personal. And again, tell Coach Hepler that you were on a podcast with me, and he'll probably get a nice chuckle out of that. So
I'll tell him.
And you should check out this match he had with his best friend at Carnoustie for this championship. It was really unbelievable.
I hear that's a pretty good golf course, Albert.
Yeah, it is. I enjoyed it. I can tell you that.
So this was – but, Frank, this is the podcast where you had him and his buddy on, right?
Right.
And I remember watching that, and you went 25 minutes before you let them talk.
Did I?
Yeah, you went on forever and ever and ever. I said, when the hell is he going to ask these guys a question? And then the questions you asked were all yes and no.
I think Ted's lobbying to be your executive producer.
I think so too.
I really like Frank, but he should show up an hour early and start the show. And then about the time we show up,
this is what I'm going to do from now on. This is perfect.
What happened to the beard, your partner? Where's he at?
The beard decided to move on.
No way.
Yeah, the beard decided to pursue.
He had a great voice, man.
Other project.
In other words, guy, so he man. Dumped you.
So, no, all's good. He.
But I will say this, Frank. I don't know how you do it, right?
What?
And I would say I'm pretty well connected in golf in Europe. How do you get all of these great people on your show? I mean, hell, you got Albert and his buddy.
Yeah.
How do you get these guys on your show?
I wrote Albert on Instagram. I don't know who I wrote. I wrote you, I think, Albert.
Yeah.
Right. Like a couple of days later, and they're like, sure, we're coming.
Well, okay. What about Albert? Did you know at the time that you were going to be one of six people watching, including the four people at your house? I mean, Frank has great guests. And if he lets them talk, it's a really good show. But there's only like, if you go down there, Frank's got a record in he's in his living room. He's got his own study, and his wife told me he's got a big sign in there, and it's like 11 on there. And she asked him one day, "What is that 11?" She goes, "That's the record on how many likes we got on one of our podcasts." You can feel free to cuss in any language you want. No one's ever going to watch this show, and these are really pretty interesting shows.
They are. I don't know how we get these guys, but we get them, you know.
Yeah, you got some. I listened to one the other day. You had that guy on there from Lab Butters, right?
Yeah.
Now, you'll never listen to this album.
He's a nut. He's so much fun. I love
this guy. Yeah. Listen, Craig, I don't know what you know about putters, okay, because you're from Scotland and the greens run four, so you probably used to whacking away at those blade putters. But listen, this is a true fact. Every time I go to the superstore, I either look at the accessories or I go to the putters, because everything else I get free, right? And I keep seeing these Lab putters. And these things are massive, and they got some big loop on the back of them. But every time I pick up that putter, I make everything with it, right? And there's the one thing that's always intrigued me, was you got face balance and all this stuff. But I always thought, well, once you start swinging the putter, the club face doesn't care where the target is, it's just going to go somewhere, right? Because when we putted with Ben Crenshaw, open the gate, close the gate. So you're rolling your wrist. So that was horrendous. Okay. That whole generation ended up getting yips. Okay. Then you got into face balance. Well, that sounded great. But if you rolled a face balance putter open, because the old days when we rolled it open, you know, to open the gate, you rolled a face balance putter open, it had no reason to close, right? So I was always interested in this. So I picked up the backstrike putter from Odyssey, and I used to putt with that, and I got one now. I was like, this thing feels different. So when you had that podcast on, he explained, remember the revealer?
Yep.
He's got this thing, this triangle, rectangle, and you pop your putter in there, and it snaps it in there, and you swing the revealer, and it shows you how your club face is trying to do this when you swing. But their putter, as you move it, it stays in, always in playing the face, right? Yeah. And he said he said in that podcast, he said, the only other putter that comes close is the backstrike putter. So now I'm like, wow, I'm really onto something here. This is going to answer the big question. And then he said what it was. You try to get the hosel as close to the center of gravity of the putter as you can, and that keeps it from wanting to twist when it swings. But you're not allowed to put it exactly there, which is why they got that big thing on the back to offset the difference between where it is and move the center of gravity. I don't know. But I can tell you what, that is an amazing putter.
It looks cool. I can see it. I'm watching, looking at it now. It looks great.
Yeah, Charles Howell, Charles Howell and Adam Scott are using it.
Using it, yeah.
It's a great putter, but that concept, and I was like, God, this putter's unbelievable. And I got one of my buddies, said, try this putter. It's unbelievable. God damn, this thing's big. I said, well, who cares? Just try it. And he started swinging. He putted. I swear to God, those putting greens at the superstore are humongous.
It's
he
bigger than in, the hole, the putter.
He rolled in like a 40-footer with the first putt. I said, Pierre, come on now. I told you. He rolls out another one, rolled a 40-footer, rolled that one in too. I said, so what did he do? What does everybody do when they like a putter? He turned around and started looking for the price tag. And that thing was like $425 used.
Right.
They're very expensive putters.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, but, you know, I mean.
Did you get one for the podcast, Frank?
No. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to sell players a putter for life once. They're not like the other guys that come out with a new model every year. You know, I mean, they're doing it once and that's it. I mean, people spend $400-$600 for a driver. Why not for a putter?
That might be the propaganda that goes into it, but they're going to bring out if that was the case, they would only need one putter. They'd have to say, this is the greatest putter in the world. You never buy another one. That's why we don't make any other putters, because it's the perfect.
They're bringing out the different models. They're bringing out like the, you know, like the Titleist, and they bring out a blade thing. And plus, I'm still under contract with Brother Burley for the
Burley. So that's right. Yeah, yeah. He's a putting guy. We should ask him what he thought about that.
I did. He thought it was fascinating. I mean,
how did you get the lab guy on your podcast?
The lab guy, I've been communicating with him, and I wrote him, and he said, yeah. I mean, he's like, to me, he's like Carsten Ping, you know? I mean, when the Ping first came out, Carsten Solheim, when the Ping first came out, everybody said, what is that? You know, and they were laughing about it. I think it might be different. It might be the same with this guy. So it's very interesting. For the final pick of the 9th RotoFest, it is Michael Timpas, if he's probably on his third cigar.
Is he awake?
No, it's the second one.
It's the second cigar.
The second cigar.
Wow.
Who did I pick? Did I pick somebody?
Did you?
Craig has to pick.
Wait. Craig has to go first. I'm sorry, Mr. Miller. I'm sorry.
Hang on a second.
I did. I picked Cam Davis.
Now you did.
Listen, before he picks the last one, I got a suggestion, and Albert, because it's your first podcast, you can say yes or no. Here's what I would suggest. Let's start all over.
I like that idea because my team sucks.
Right, guys, I'm going to come on.
Hey, Michael, come on, pick. I've got to go, boys.
Yeah, me too.
I've got to go, man. Pick it, Michael.
What do you say, Doc?
Me now, yes.
Mean?
Up to me?
Yeah, you're up.
Yeah, nearly an hour to pick Thomas Peters because he's long, but someone else did it. And so I picked Siwoo Kim.
Siwoo Kim. There you go.
You know, Siwoo is one of those guys, he'll either win the tournament or miss the cut by 9. If that long if he's not playing good.
Me and Albert. Yeah.
That's Fred's the perfect.
Fred's going to sneak in here, but Albert, I think the Doc, didn't you win your first time ever when you came the first time?
I believe he did.
He did, didn't
he? Well, he has to be barred from competition then because he's already got a victory.
There you go.
But I tell you what, Albert's got a chance to win, not because he has a good team, because everybody else is going to miss the cut. This is the stupidest. I really hope, Frank, why can't we go to your four best guys? Why does it have to be everybody?
Well, do it your way next time.
Oh,
sit in the rules.
You're going to miss the cut. You're going to be out. You won't even publish the results because you'll be pissed off.
No. Side bets are encouraged. Trading is allowed until the first tee shot is hit.
If you want to bet that Zach Johnson's going to miss the cut, Greg, come on.
No, I'm not. Who was the bet we used to have? Answer and who? Who was the other guy?
Albert, I got a side bet. A Georgia Bulldog will be higher than all the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets on the leaderboard at the end of the week.
Who are the Georgia Tech alumni?
Sink.
Stewart's not playing.
Yeah, he is.
He's on the Larry list. In the field. Is Stewart playing?
I think so.
Here's another $100 fact. Albert. $100 question. Who is Larry Mize's neighbor? And where does he live?
Your questions are tough.
He lives in Columbus, Georgia. He's in Columbus, Georgia, and he for 15 years he lived next to my sister.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And then my nephew's
that was what I was going to say had you given me time to answer it. But
he plays out of Green Island.
Gentlemen, we're breaking the 2-hour mark. Let's call it a night. Yeah, thank you very much. Craig Miller, best regards to Herzogenaurach. Ted Long, see you soon. You're Albert Hansen, Sweden, thank you for joining us for the first time. Michael Timpus, Doc, I will see you soon, hopefully on the golf course. Hopefully on the golf course.
Yes.
And Mr. Hinesley, good to see you. I'm glad you're back. You got to come on. You're still with Bianca?
Still with Bianca, yeah.
Okay.
So
that was a couple
different players trying to find it with, so I'll keep you updated.
Our door is always open. We're glad to see you back after the Olympics. It's good to see you. You look great and always great to listen to you.
Thanks,
everybody.
One of these hats, Albert.
Take care, boys. Have a good one.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Bye.
To the Lynx Land.
Okay.